From Radio City, New York, the National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 57. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your director, Harry W. Junkin.
Thank you, Fred Collins. This afternoon on Radio City Playhouse, Ground Floor Window by Ernest Canoy. The story of Danny. The story of his fears and his courage, his heartbreak, and his love. We presented this story a year ago last July at the very beginning of the Radio City Playhouse series, and we are repeating it in response to many, many requests. With us to play the very difficult and demanding role of Danny is Joe Helgeson, one of radio's most sensitive and most perceptive actors. Here, then, is our show. Joe Helgeson as Danny in Ground Floor Window by Ernest Canoy, Attraction 57 on Radio City Playhouse.
I've been sitting in this ground floor window of ours for 23 years. Yes, ever since I can remember, I've watched the girls playing potsy on the sidewalk, the boys playing stickball, dodging the cars, shooting marbles in the gutter. I'm 23 now. 23. It was 6 years ago that I first saw you, Ruth. You were the new upstairs tenants. There was a big yellow moving van, the furniture, your father managing everything. I remember the first words your father ever said to me. The first words your father ever said to me.
Hey, you, in the window, this 791?
Why?
I said, is it 791?
Why?
It's no use asking him, mister. He's dopey.
Yeah, how do you know?
Yeah, he's a regular goof. Just sits there all the time, mister.
He can't
even talk straight. Yeah, it's 791, all right. Hey, you moving in, huh?
Yeah. Hey, the goof there, he ain't dangerous or anything, is he?
Him? Nah. He can't even get out of that chair. His ma even has to tie his shoes for him.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, Ruthie, this is the right place. We're home.
What's wrong with him, Papa? He looks so funny.
Never mind now. Go find a super and get the key to the apartment.
Yeah, but he looks so funny.
Go on, you heard me. Find a super.
All afternoon, I watched your father and another man carrying furniture and trunks into the house. It was dark before the truck finally pulled away. Kids in the block were shooting bottle caps under the street lamp. The ice cream man had been around twice.
Danny, it's 9 o'clock. It's getting late. How about letting me fix you for bed, huh?
No, Ma, not yet. I'll stay up a while.
You had a long day, Danny. You ought to rest.
Well, Ma.
All day you sat by the window.
Let me alone, will you?
Can I get you some ginger ale? It's cold in the icebox.
No, I don't want anything, Ma. Just leave me alone.
Okay, Danny. Just call me when you want to go to bed, huh?
Yeah, Ma. All right.
Hello.
Huh?
Hello. My name is Ruth. I moved in today upstairs.
I saw.
Mind if I sit on the stoop by your window?
Mm-mm.
What's your name?
Dan.
What's wrong with you? You ain't really dopey, are you?
No. It's just that I was born with...
That lady in the blue dress, she's your mother, ain't she?
Mm-hmm.
My mother died last year. She had double pneumonia.
That's too bad.
Can't a doctor do something?
For me?
Yeah.
My mother took me to the clinic when I was 4. They told her they couldn't do anything.
Oh, that's awful. What is it?
The doctor said something isn't there in the part that tells the muscles what to do.
You don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
I don't mind. You won't laugh at me, though.
No, I won't laugh.
The rest of the kids in the block do. I'm used to it, I guess. They call me Dopey Dan.
That isn't fair. It isn't your fault, is it?
No. It isn't my fault.
Ruthie!
Oh, that's Papa. I gotta go upstairs. I'll see you tomorrow, Dan.
Good night, Ruth.
Who is that you were talking to, Danny?
The girl from upstairs.
Oh, the one who moved in today, huh? She should shame herself with such a dirty face.
Her name is Ruth.
Oh, this used to be such a nice neighborhood.
She looked straight at me, Ma.
So she looked at you. Should I put you to bed now, Danny?
That's all right, Ma. I want to sit up a while longer. You go ahead. I want to think.
I watched you grow up, Ruth. You washed your face now, and those long braids had given way to a sort of soft tangle around your face. You went to Douglas Junior High School with the kids from the block, and after school you used to sit on the high brownstone stoop just outside my window and report on the day's activities.
The teacher don't like me, Dan. Right in front of the whole class, she said I didn't do my homework.
Did you?
Well, not exactly. I tried to,
You went to the movies instead. I saw you go by.
Well, Skip asked me to, and I don't see what good algebra does anyway.
Did you have a good time with Skip?
I guess so. We had a soda after. You've never seen a movie, have you, Dan?
Well, Ma was going to take me once, but she couldn't get anybody to carry me.
It was a swell picture.
I'll see one someday.
What do you do when I'm in school, Danny?
Well, I don't know. Watch the street, I guess.
Don't you read?
I can't turn the pages good. I used to have a teacher come once a week. Not anymore.
Hey, I know what. I'll read to you Saturday afternoon. I gotta read Ivanhoe for school anyway, and I just as soon read it aloud.
Hey, Mommy!
That's Skip calling you.
Well, I'll come over here if he wants anything.
Hey, what are you doing, Ruthie?
Just talking.
Talking to Dopey Dan?
Skip Parson, you shut up.
Well, that's all right.
Sure. Danny don't mind, do you, Danny?
Mm-mm.
We're old friends, ain't we?
Never mind, Skip. You shut up anyway.
Oh, girls are crazy. Ain't they, Danny, huh?
I...
See? Danny agrees with me.
Why don't you go away, Skip?
I'll go when I wanna. Mm. Oh, say, Ruthie, all the kids in school are going up the river on the dayline Saturday. Would you like to go?
I don't know.
Won't cost much. I mean... Look, I tell you what. You come with me. I'll get you a ticket.
Well, I was going to read to Danny on Saturday.
We're going to Bear Mountain. Joe Barger's father's giving him hot dogs for the whole bunch, Ruthie.
I don't know.
It sounds swell, Ruth.
Yeah, sure. It's a lot better than just sitting on a stoop reading all afternoon.
I don't know yet, Skip. I'll let you know.
You went to Bear Mountain with Skip, Ruth. I wanted you to. Skip was supposed to be very funny. He had an imitation of the way I talk and how my face moves. I never saw it, but all the kids in the neighborhood laughed every time. Saturday afternoon, I watched the little kids unscrew the top off the fire hydrant, run around under the water. I thought of you on the boat with the wind blowing through that short tangle of hair. I think I enjoyed that trip more than you did. You came home late, way after 12, alone. The night was hot. The whole street seemed to be weighed down under a smothering blanket. You sat in the stoop. Even in the dark, I could tell you were crying.
I am not crying. It's just hot.
Didn't you have a good time?
Sure.
How come Skip didn't bring you home? Your father'd be awful mad.
I don't care.
What's the matter? You are crying, Ruth.
Nothing, Daddy.
Something happened on the trip, didn't it?
No.
It was Skip, wasn't it?
Oh, Daddy.
He made fun of the way I talked.
I hit him, Daddy. I slapped Skip as hard as I could, and then I ran into the cabin. I didn't come home with him. I couldn't stand it, Danny. I won't ever talk to Skip as long as I live.
They don't mean anything, Ruth. It's just that I'm different. Don't cry, Ruth. Please.
Is that you, Ruthie?
Oh, it's Papa.
He's been to Connolly's bar. I saw him go by around 10.
Ruth, answer when your father calls.
Yes, Papa. Danny's drunk. What'll I do?
Didn't I tell you to get home before midnight?
Papa, I...
Didn't I say before midnight, didn't I?
But Papa...
Mr. Gower, Ruth was here talking to me.
No, Dan.
She was, huh?
She was talking to me. She was back around 11.
Why, you lying, half-witted cripple?
Papa, don't you dare talk to Dan like that.
What? Why, you little... Ruth, come on, get upstairs before I beat your head off.
Mr. Gower, you shouldn't.
Listen, you overgrown idiot. If I didn't know that your mom has even to wipe your nose for you, I'd... And stay away from Ruthie, see? I don't want her hanging around her. So just stay away.
Danny, was that Gower coming home drunk again, Danny? Danny, you're crying.
No, Ma.
What's the matter, Danny? Can I do something for you? What are you crying for?
Nothing.
Here. Let me fix the pillow behind your back. It's all crooked.
Ma, stop it.
Danny.
I can't stand it any longer.
Oh.
Let me alone. Oh. Let me alone. Let me alone.
But my mother fixed my pillow, brought me a glass of water, wiped the tears out of my eyes. I sat at the window, staring out at the street. That night, I dreamed I could walk. I was with you, Ruth, by the ocean. We were running hand in hand, sort of floating over the sand. Running, running. Then suddenly I fell. I couldn't get up. He looked down at me and said quietly, "Crippled." I was screaming when I woke up. My mother came running. She insisted on sitting up with me all night. I didn't dream anymore. After that, you didn't come every day. You had a job after school. I'd see you go out in the morning with your books, come back late in the afternoon. You weren't really pretty, I suppose. You always looked tired. You took a long time climbing the stoop.
Hello, Danny. Oh, isn't this a scorcher?
Hello, Ruth. You tired?
Sometimes I think you're lucky, Danny. You're different from the other boys I know. Not only because you're...
Crippled? It's all right.
I mean, it seems like I can always talk to you. Papa doesn't seem to understand. Honest, Danny, sometimes I think you're all there is on the whole block that's real. I mean, I don't know.
Why?
Danny, why is it you seem kind of good?
Why, I don't know.
I mean, you seem so old.
Old?
As if you knew what was right. Oh, Dan, will you always let me talk to you?
Ruth.
I get so tired. I need you to talk to, Danny. I need you.
Sat on the stoop with your head in your hands, looking like all the sorrow in the world. Then you looked up and smiled at me. I could see tears in your eyes. I was glad, Ruth. Glad you wanted to tell me you were unhappy. Glad you wanted me to listen while you poured out the troubles of your 18-year-old heart. The war was over now. There was a big welcome home streamer stretching from our house across the street to 794. They had a big block party when the four Sedum Timi brothers came. came home and the little kids playing in the street wore their big brother's army clothes. I was glad the war was over. Listen while you poured out the troubles of your 18-year-old heart. Glad to see the boys come home.
Dad! Daddy, look who's back! Look who's back!
It was Skip Parson on the sidewalk at the foot of the stoop. He stood looking up at me with his feet apart, leaning on a sort of steel cane that reached up behind his right hand and clamped his arm by the elbow.
Hiya, Daddy!
Hello, Skip. Swell to see you.
Come on up and sit down a while on the stoop.
Sure, I got nowhere to go. Hiya, Ruthie.
Hi.
I guess I kind of joined your club, Danny. There.
I'm sorry, Skip.
Oh. Well, I still got the leg, even if it is all scrambled up. How you been, Danny, huh?
Oh, same. You look great. I mean, except for the leg.
Yeah. Yeah, but the real surprise is Ruthie. She wasn't pretty when I went away.
Oh, never mind. What are the ribbons for, Skip?
Huh? Oh, free beers, mostly, I guess. They're good for at least a quart at Conley's Bar.
You got home just in time, Skip. Ruth graduates high school tonight.
What? Hey, that's swell. Congratulations. You should have told me. I'd have brought you a present or something. Maybe flowers.
Oh, Dan sent me flowers.
Why don't you go with her tonight, Skip? Mr. Gower's working. Ruth won't have anybody there.
I wasn't asked.
Oh, don't be goofy. I need someone in the audience to clap when they call my name.
Oh, yeah? Well, horny-handed Parsons, they call me. How's this?
Oh, fine, you'll do. Like, I gotta get dressed now. Oh, your flowers are swell, Danny. Oh,
I'm glad.
In about an hour, Ruthie?
Maybe a little longer. I'll try to hurry.
Okay. Well, I gotta shave. See you later, Danny, huh?
Have a good time, Skip. I saw you go off together to the graduation. It was almost dark, and the street lamp went on just as you passed under it. Skip was wrong. You weren't pretty. The light caught the white flowers in your dark hair. It danced when you tossed your head and waved to me.
Is that the Gower girl going to graduation, Danny?
Yes, Ma.
You'd think her father would come home to go with her.
He's working.
Working, not working. A girl graduates only once. Who's that with her?
Skip Parson.
Oh.
He came home today.
Yeah, I heard. A shame his leg is such a strong boy.
She looked nice, Ma.
She ought to. You made me buy expensive enough flowers. So much money for a little girl like that.
Oh, Ma.
Still, you're right, Danny. Her father wouldn't get them, and on the graduation, a girl should have flowers.
They were pretty. She had them in her hair.
It's lucky Skip came home so she had someone to take her, huh? Everybody's got his troubles. In the whole world, nothing but troubles. So, you want some ice cream the next time the man comes around, Danny?
You came home late. I heard you both laughing quietly as you turned the corner. When you passed under the street lamp, I saw the flowers in your hair welted and yellowing. Skip had tucked one of them under his infantry badge like it was a buttonhole.
Dan? Dan?
He's probably in bed.
Danny?
What do you want to wake him up for?
I promised to tell him about graduation. Danny's been something sort of special to me.
Oh?
Skip, it isn't fair. Why should he be like that? It isn't fair.
Hey, take it easy, honey. It's graduation night.
Said he was glad you went with him.
Sure, Danny's okay. He's... Hey, you're not in... I mean, Danny isn't...
Oh, Skip, I don't...
Let's walk down to the river. It's early yet, huh?
I can't. Papa'll be home from work soon. He'll get mad.
You've got lots of time. After all, you only graduate high school once.
But I really promised
if
Danny
that... If Danny was up, he'd answer.
Yes, but Papa...
Your old
said
man don't come home till 3. What do you say?
All right. Oh.
What's the matter?
My flowers came loose. Here, will you hold my purse?
Oh, they're drooping anyway. You might as well throw them away.
No, I'll fix the pin. I want to save them. There.
Look, we can make it to the river and back before your father comes home.
I had heard you when you called, Ruth. I don't know why I didn't answer. But I waited up till you came back. I wanted to be sure you got home safely. I was afraid your father'd come home and find you still out. He didn't, though. He didn't come home that night at all. It was a week later when Skip came by again. He was wearing his old suit from before the war. His arm was still braced against that twisted steel half crutch. He pulled himself up in the high stoop and sat down.
Oh, it's quite a climb. Mind if I sit a while?
Oh, no.
Danny, you've got to help me.
Me?
Yeah, I know I got a nerve. All afternoon, I sat in Connolly's bar trying to figure out how I had the right.
What's the trouble, Skip?
Look, remember when I was a kid? I used to call you Dopey Dan.
Yeah, I remember.
Ruthie socked me once for it. I was imitating you on the boat coming down from Bear Mountain. She hauled off and she socked me.
I knew about it.
Well, kids are like that, Danny. You know that, don't you? I didn't mean anything special. There's just no excuse, I guess.
I don't mind
Look,
anymore.
I know it isn't anything like it. I mean, my leg and your trouble, they aren't in the same class. But this morning, I saw two kids following me down the street, making like my brace with a stick.
You'll get used to
it. No, that's not what I mean. I tried to figure how I come off to ask you to help me. I wouldn't have had the nerve, Danny, but Ruthie told me you were always her friend.
Ruth?
Yeah. I need you, Danny. You're the only one who can help.
Why?
What's the matter?
What for? How many more, Ruth?
Nothing.
You see, it's her old man, Danny. He won't let us see anybody. He goes crazy every night when he's working because he can't tell where she is. And she's scared of him, Danny.
What do you want from me?
I gotta see her, Danny. I just got to. She's gonna meet me over at the park. See, she told her father she's gonna read to you. Now, he'll ask you, Danny. You've got to tell him she was with you.
I didn't know what to say to Skip Ruth, so I stuttered like I always do when I get confused. Skip sat by the window and told me how pretty you were. You weren't really pretty, Ruth, even on graduation night with my flowers in your hair. I wanted to tell him there were lots of prettier girls, so many others. He could walk. He could find the others. Why did he have to come to me? Why did I have to help him? You stopped by my window before you went to meet him. You sat on the stoop the way you used to.
How do I look, Danny?
Fine, Ruth.
Fine. Going over to the park to meet Skip.
I know.
Oh, Danny, I love him. What's the matter, Danny?
Well, Skip's a good guy.
He wants to get married and go to California. He knows a job out there where his leg won't matter. If only it wasn't for Papa.
Can't you just go anyway?
Yes, but Skip and Papa don't like each other. Danny, why is Papa like he is? Oh, he's not really bad. He worries about me that way, you know. And Danny, he doesn't need to worry ever. Why can't he be nice, Danny? Why can't he?
Ruth, I...
You've always been a friend, Danny. I've always been able to talk to you. Remember when I said I wanted to talk to you always?
Ruth, I can't even talk right, hardly.
Even if you couldn't walk or anything, you were my very best friend on the block. You were my best friend in the world, Danny. You could tell what I was thinking. You knew it without my saying anything. That's what I love about Skip, Danny. He's so gentle and sweet, like you, Danny. Sometimes I think that you're the only...
No.
Danny, I'll write you often.
You're not going tonight, are you?
Well, tomorrow, maybe, if Skip wants.
Well, I hope you'll be happy, Ruth.
Bend your head up, Danny. Oh, your face is hot, Danny. Are you all right? Have you got a fever or something?
No. I'm all right.
Your forehead's so hot, Danny. Tomorrow I'll say goodbye like always.
just like I was going to school or something. But I'm going to kiss you goodbye now.
Ruth, don't.
Goodbye, Danny.
Danny, is somebody bothering you?
Mm-hmm. Danny, what's the matter? Why are you crying?
Oh, that's no way for a man to act.
A man who can't even button his shirt or tie his shoes. Oh. What kind of a man is that?
Danny.
What kind of a man that drools and stammers when he talks like a baby?
Danny, your mama ain't blind. You're my son. I lived in the house with you for 23 years.
Please,
that's
Ma.
Skip Parson. He went 2 years to a war. But, Danny, your war went on from when you were born. I know. I know. Your Ruthie, she's going away. But you've got to live, Danny.
For heaven's sake.
So she goes away. It didn't take courage, Danny, to live 23 years sitting in a window watching the world run and play games. A man, Danny? Could there be more of a man?
Oh, Mama. I love her.
Now I sit by the window and watch the street. All day I watch the girls jumping rope and the boys playing stickball. You wrote me, Ruth, but I didn't answer. This is the letter I write in my head. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't put it on paper. I'm 23 years old and I can't hold a pencil in my hand.
That was Ground Floor Window, Attraction 57 on Radio City Playhouse, as written by Ernest Canoy. Joe Helgeson starred as Danny, and other members of the cast included Bernard Grant, Marilyn Erskine, Adelaide Klein, and Joe DeSantis. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. Radio City Playhouse is produced and directed for the National Broadcasting Company by Harry W. Junkin.
This is Harry Junkin again. Next week on Radio City Playhouse, the story of a fear so strong that it created the very thing it feared. The Wind by Ray Bradbury, one of America's most exciting young authors. That's next Sunday, The Wind, Attraction 58 on Radio City Playhouse. Good afternoon, everyone.
Be sure to hear Celeste Holm and Van Heflin in The Thunderbolt on Theater Guild on the Air immediately following Sam Spade tonight on NBC. Fred Collins speaking. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.